Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, baby, what a time to be alive. We got a lot to discuss on a very special Tuesday edition of Evan and Tiki, including Devontae Adams getting the plane tickets ready, apartment hunting ready, because Devontae's coming to New Jersey. We'll get to that later on. Aaron Rodgers is banged up. The Yankees have some big decisions to make. But as we get over the euphoria of yesterday, the New York Mets winning the greatest regular season game in their franchise's history and securing a playoff berth for the first time since 2022, now the focus becomes, now what? The focus becomes, okay, that was cute. The Mets made the playoffs. That's great. That's the goal every year. Make the playoffs. Now what? And last night, Tiki, and even this morning, I had this relaxed, happy feeling, like a smile on my face.
Finally, what time did that occur?
It occurred all night long after they got that victory.
Good.
But now my game face is on, Tiki, because it's no longer about celebrating the greatest regular season win in Met history. Now it's about business. And business is about to pick up in the city of Milwaukee, where the New York Mets could go on a run that we'll never forget.
How confident are you about said run that the Mets could potentially go on? Because, I mean, I guess they took care of business in one of those games this past week and weekend, but it didn't feel very comforting and also must-win situations for the Mets.
Yeah.
And we forget that conveniently because of how exciting and excited we were over the Braves victory in game one. But they could have taken care of business 2 or 3 days before.
No question.
And they did not.
No question. There was a reason why I was so negative for most of yesterday. It's because of the way the Mets limped towards Sunday and eventually Monday. But my feeling right now, a mere 3.5 hours before first pitch, the New York Mets, the Milwaukee Brewers, game one of the National League Wild Card Series, my feeling is this, and it's a weird, weird feeling, but I'm always honest with you. I believe one of two things are going to happen. Either the New York Mets are going to get swept. They're going to lose 2 straight to the Milwaukee Brewers. And yeah, that was fun. Yeah, that was cute. And now the season's over. And now it's all about the big boys. Mm-hmm. It's all about the New York Yankees. That's option number one. And option number two is they're going to continue this ride. They're going to beat the Brewers and no one's going to stop them. And this is going to be a run that extends deep into October. I really have this all or nothing feel about this team right now. Either they lose quickly, and, you know, we're going to debate all offseason. How do we feel about the year? The playoffs barely lasted. It was like a fart in the wind. We're going to talk about free agency. Or 2024 is going to be a year none of us will ever forget because they're about to go on a Texas Ranger epic-ian kind of run. And I don't know why. Maybe it's just the weird feeling I have today. I don't see a middle ground. I think it's one or the other.
It's because Met fans live at the extreme. Yeah. We all know that.
Yes.
And I hope it's, if they lose, I hope that it's in the quick fashion that you're talking about. Because the last thing I need to deal with again, and that probably Sean deal with, I guess Loogie can deal with it because Loogie's positive, even though he was silent for most of yesterday, until the Loog hour, of course. But your energy and, I don't know, craziness in a do or die game, it was like exhausting to me.
Yeah.
And so if they don't lose early and Thursday comes around and it's a win and go forward type of situation, I have no idea what this show is going to feel like. Are we doing another watch party? Are we going back to the performance space to go crazy when you're jumping up and down again?
So I
humping Loogie.
I did hump Loogie. I was very excited.
Getting pep talk from me.
Yes.
Leaving Sean to do the walk-off.
Yes. For anyone who missed some of the highlights from yesterday's audio watch party, coming up in about 25 minutes, we will give you some of the great moments from yesterday. We've all heard the Howie Rose calls, the Gary Cohen calls, but have you heard the Sean Morash calls? Have you heard the Tiki Barber calls? We'll get to that in a few minutes. I think that what I went through as a Met fan, and I don't think I was alone yesterday, was fear of this ending in some kind of disastrous way. And I believe that considering how well the regular season went and considering the run that they went on and considering the position they were in going into the final week of the year, right or wrong, I felt if they missed the playoffs, this was an epic disaster. And that was my fear yesterday afternoon. Like, they have to make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, not that I'm firing anybody, but wow, this would be such a disaster. Screw OMG. Right. Screw all the good feeling. I think now that they're in the postseason, it's not that I'm lowering the bar. It's not that I won't come in here screaming or yelling if they lose this series to Milwaukee, of course, depending on how they lose this series. But I believe they've avoided the debacle. I think they've avoided the disaster. Unfortunately, this round of the postseason, known as the wild card series, has not been kind to the New York Mets. They've been in two of them, sort of. A wild card game back in 2016, a game they lost heartbreakingly to the Giants. And obviously 2 years ago against San Diego. So this is not a round they've had great luck in. So if they lose, I'll be upset. I can't deny that. But I think what they were able to accomplish yesterday, for me and a lot of other Met fans, is avoid the sheer disaster and embarrassment of not making the playoffs after they played so well.
Yeah, being one of the best, if not the best team after June, start of June, and then not making the playoffs would have felt disastrous because they were in position to do so after being so far behind. The Braves, to be perfectly honest, for a lot of the season, to catch them, pass them, and then to have dropped back below them would have been, I felt like, devastating.
Yes.
Like for so much of this season, it was, in my mind at least, because as a non-Met fan, so IBO here, it was, they're evaluating. I listened to what David Stern said. Mm-hmm. I understood what the process is going to be like this season as they look to see what the future of this team is going to look like. But then at some point, I don't know exactly when it was. It wasn't right after Lindor, you know, gave his speech. It was much later than that where it was, this team has to win now.
Yeah.
Right? This team has put themselves in position to do something beyond what David Stern's expectations even were. And that's a testament to the players.
Yes.
That's a testament to them finally stepping up as you implored them to do so many times.
It's a testament that in sports, expectations change.
100%.
You know, what we think in March doesn't have to stay consistent the entire year. You change the bar. And so what the Mets, and this was the nervousness I think I had over the last few days, was they can't miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've always said this about all the teams I root for. Once you're there, I'm never going to accept losing. You know, Beningo said something yesterday, and he even prefaced it by saying, bro, I know you hate this. Mm. He knows I hate it,
right.
And that's the term house money. I don't believe you ever have house money because you don't know what the future holds.
Yeah, because the house will take your money back real quick.
That's right.
You all know that.
And also we make assumptions about, oh, the future's bright. Don't worry. We'll be back. Well, I think Met fans certainly know better than anybody. There's no guarantee. You know, we thought after 2006, the brutal loss in the NLCS, don't worry. Look at the roster. They'll be back. They never got back.
Mm-hmm.
Even in 2015, when they got to the World Series with the great young pitching staff, don't worry. We'll be back. The closest they got was a one-game playoff, a wild card game the following year. So as we go into game one of the wild card series, I'm dreaming of a championship. I am. I'm 41 years old. I ain't going to be around here forever. I want to see my team win. And sometimes teams win in the most unpredictable, shocking ways and shocking seasons. So I'm not telling you I'll ever be okay with losing. But I think what the Mets were able to do for me personally as a fan is avoid the complete disaster.
All right. So
now we're in disappointment territory.
Now you feel good. You feel accomplished because the grind of the regular season, especially the start of the season, got completed. It got finished.
Yeah.
You always talk about finish in sport. You have to finish. Finish the block if you're a lineman. Finish the catch. Finish the touchdown. Finish the game if you're, in this case, in baseball with your closer. The Mets finished the regular season.
They did.
The way that you want to. But now the expectation has changed. So I'm very curious if most Met fans see it like you, or they're saying we're winning a World Series. Because it's hard for me, as a non-Met fan, to look at this team and say, yeah, this has World Series written all over it.
Well, they've got a shot. Everybody does.
Of
and I've been screaming about this for 2 years. If you're in the playoffs, you have a shot.
But they're not consistent enough, to my liking, to say they can win a World Series. Can they win a wild card? Sure. Can they get to the championship series? Sure. But do they feel consistent enough to be a World Series viable team?
That's
the hard thing to fully commit my mind to.
Well, they have been, since June, the most consistent team in baseball in the fact that they were the best team in baseball.
Okay, but they had so many opportunities down the stretch and had subpar efforts.
You're right, Batiki. You know what makes me feel better about that? So you're right. I mean, what he's saying is, hey, look at all the times they came up short final week of the year. They did overcome it. The Philadelphia Phillies, I'll never forget this, in 2022, the year where the Mets made the playoffs and them and the Braves were in the epic division race, the Philadelphia Phillies tried very hard to give a playoff spot away. I'll never forget this. They were choking down the stretch of the year, but because the Brewers were so bad, the Phillies made the playoffs, right? And then look what happened. They beat the Cardinals. They beat the Braves. They beat the Padres. They were in the World Series. Last year, the Texas Rangers lost 3 out of 4 in Seattle against the Mariners.
Yeah,
but where one more win would have meant the American League West. And guess what happened? They went to the wild card series. They swept the Orioles, I think, and they went on an amazing run. So sometimes how you finish doesn't even matter. It's about now getting hot at the right time. The Mets can win a championship. They can get hot. But I think where I'm at as a fan is they've avoided the complete disaster. Now, if they lose, I'm going to be disappointed. Oh, maybe I'll scream and yell a little bit. I'll be very disappointed. But they have avoided the other D word, which is disaster, by at least making the postseason.
Yeah, of course.
And look,
and
also,
that became a necessity, in the especially in the last month of
yes,
the season.
Yes, 100%.
It became a necessity.
And then the other thing you got to keep in mind is sometimes it's about how you lose. Mm. If the New York Mets tonight in game one of the wild card series has a 5-2 lead in the ninth inning and they're forced to go to Jose Budo because Edwin Diaz isn't available and he gives up a walk-off grand slam to Rhys Hoskins, I'm sorry. I can't imagine any Met fan is going to be able to sleep at night and feel good about anything. So there are ways you can lose that can ruin everything. Now, I hope that's not a scenario that happens. Rhys Hoskins, of course, hit the Grand Slam on Friday, a few hours after I told you he scares the crap out of me.
Uh-huh.
Well, guess what? He still scares the crap out of me. But here's the fun part, Met fans. To quote a wise man who you no longer have to beat around anymore,
yeah,
we hear. I like that one.
Mm.
Who said we hear? I forgot.
Julius Randle.
Well, you ain't here no more.
We hear, you ain't here.
You ain't.
But he coined that great phrase a few years ago. He said, we hear. And Julius, first of all, I want to thank you for your time here.
Mm-hmm.
Julius was a wonderful New Yorker. He took an unfair beating by a lot of talking heads. Hello, how are you?
You included.
Me leading the pack. But that was wise words because we are here. And now the question for the New York Mets is, what are you going to do about it? Are we going on some kind of run? Mm-hmm. Are we going on some kind of crazy 2015 acid trip? Or is this kind of like 2 years ago or a lot like 2016? We're here, we fart, and then we disappear. We pass some wind, and then we're gone. That's the question for the 2024 New York Mets. So I ask you, Tiki Barber,
mm-hmm.
is this going to be a fart in the wind?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we about to go on an insane trip with the 2024 New York Mets?
I think this wild card series is going to be a three-gamer, and I think it's going to be dramatic. And I think they get to the divisional round and probably lose there.
So you're
That's my gut.
Okay.
That's my gut.
All right, so the Mets are going to give us some fun, and then we're going to have our hearts broken
and
by the city of Philadelphia.
Down, and then the conversations about Pete Alonso are going to start becoming hot and heavy because he didn't do XYZ with runners in scoring position in a game that mattered.
That's already started, by the way.
That's what's going to happen.
Playoffs
that's my feel.
Okay. Sean Morash, who I must say, and you'll hear some clips a little bit later on, did a marvelous job yesterday during the audio watch party. Not fair and balanced at all, but very entertaining. Sean, what's going to happen now?
Mets carry momentum, win today, lose tomorrow on a Diaz blown save.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you hate
and just
Diaz.
Goes quiet into the night in game three.
See, that description, Tiki,
yeah.
would crush my soul. Like, one win away.
Because of the Diaz thing.
Well, one win away from going to play Philadelphia to Diaz blows the game and then a quiet, meekly lost game three. Yeah, see, that's where things would change. But now we hand the podium to the positive one.
Let's hear Tommy.
Some call him the prophet of positivity himself.
Tommy.
I believe in positive Tommy. I do believe in positive Tommy. That's why I'm letting you go before me. Maybe you'll inspire me.
Evan, yesterday one chapter was written, but the book of the 2024 Mets is not completed. In fact, 24 years later, the Mets are going to finish their story. See, Evan, I never forget. I have a very, very, very long memory. And I've been waiting 24 years for this moment, Yankee fans. 24 years, we right a wrong, and we finish our story on your hallowed grounds this time.
Wow.
In the Bronx.
The
Evan and I with Frank Sinatra blasting in the speakers.
Dramatic.
Humping each other.
Yeah, Luke could be helping me that day.
Sure will.
The prophet of positivity is taking Don't Make Plans for October to a brand new level. Mm. He's saying the Mets finished their story in the South Bronx in early November.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to lose the next two games, and that'll be it. And then we'll have big arguments about, hey, was this a fun season? Was it a waste of time? How do we feel? That's how I think this thing goes. Met fans, how are we feeling? Are you confident? Do you believe? Is this going to be magical? What are your new expectations for the 2024 New York Mets? The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll get you set for Mets Brewers. Yankee fans, you got an interesting debate that we're going to have to handle. What do you do at first base? We'll address it a little bit later on. Plus, there are new rumors coming out of Las Vegas that points Davante Adams straight to the state of New Jersey. We're going to get to all of that on a very, very busy Tuesday here in New York City. Your Met calls coming up, 888-808-1019. A lot to get to on a very, very busy Tuesday. The latest around Aaron Rodgers and his health, the possibility of Davante Adams joining him with the New York Jets, the Giants adding a quarterback, the Yankees first base situation, so there's a ton to get to, plus a new edition of Posted and Toasted at 3:30. We're on TV a little bit early today because the Mets are on a little bit early today, so we'll be on SNY between 2 and 4 if you consume us that way. Before we get to your calls, one thing that I did not notice yesterday as we were watching and describing the Met Brave game was the back and forth that occurred between Michael Harris and Brandon Nimmo.
Oh, yeah.
And so it started when Michael Harris made a catch in the outfield and he stuck his tongue out, which we did notice.
Yes.
That we definitely noticed.
Like it was routine.
Yeah.
This is easy.
Well, for him it is. I give him a lot of credit. Michael Harris, a tremendous young baseball player. And I think we were off air at the time and Lugie even made the comment, oh, my God, we're going to hate this guy forever. He's a hell of a player. And I said, yeah, he's a hell of a player. Plus, he's got pizzazz. He's got like a swagger that you almost admire. I would admire if he wasn't an Atlanta Brave. Mm-hmm. So Michael Harris sticks his tongue out. That's part number one. Part number two is when Brandon Nimmo hit the home run that we thought was going to be the difference in the game. Nimmo, as he's rounding second, sticks his tongue out.
Yes.
Right at Michael Harris in center field. That wasn't all.
That's called a clapback.
It's a clapback. Well, you ready for
I think that's what they call it.
You want to hear a clapback back?
What's that?
After the Braves took the lead on the Ozzie Albies bases-clearing double, Michael Harris, in the dugout, started doing the Met slap.
The OMG?
Yeah. They didn't whip out an OMG sign, but they were doing the slap, whatever that's for.
Right.
So there was a lot of histrionics back between Brandon Nimmo and Michael Harris, and I think everyone down in Atlanta would agree with my next sentence. I would be more than happy for a rematch in the National League Championship Series.
Or are they celebrating on the field together afterwards? That's what happened for those that went to bed.
Yeah, it was very odd.
It was odd. Both teams are celebrating. Obviously, the Mets celebrated right after, and they did whatever they did. They had to play game two. But after game two, the Braves are celebrating.
Yes.
And they were doing it in their respective dugouts, clubhouses.
It was so odd. SNY was showing it. So the Braves are on the field partying. Yeah. Some of the Mets were lingering, offering like congratulations back and forth. And then obviously the Mets then went in the locker room. Mendy made this incredible speech about how nobody believed in them. And it doesn't matter if that's exaggerated because the truth is most people didn't believe in them. And they, you know, we can't go literally person by person.
There's a line of demarcation for every Met fan or just observer where you kind of started to believe in them.
Right.
But it varies.
Yeah.
Could have been early, could have been at the end of May or beginning of June, or could have been last week when you started to believe in them. It varies.
It also doesn't matter. Like at the beginning of the season, I had an optimistic view of the Mets. I thought they would win 86 games and be the third wild card team. But I don't take it personal when Mendy says no one believed in us because in general, yeah, of course, there were certain guys.
At some point all season, almost everybody at one point did not believe in
them. No, at one point there was a jump-off period of what the hell's going on.
Yes.
But here they are in the wild card series with first pitch coming up in just a few hours. Your calls on your expectations now for this Met team, 888-808-1019. And coming up in 10 minutes, we'll play you some of the best highlights from our audio watch party. If you missed some of those calls, let's start it off with Pete in Seaford. How you doing today, Pete?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What up, Pete?
You know, Evan, you really segued me nicely into my call. Mendoza's speech before the champagne bottles got uncorked. had me ready to run through a wall. He's 100% correct.
Right.
Maybe not locally, but the national media had this team dead and buried in February.
Oh, yeah.
They were just waiting to shed all of this, all the Verlander money, the Scherzer money, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the drama over Alonso's contract. Lindor, everyone still, you know, everyone acts like Lindor's contract is garnished out of their personal paycheck every 2 weeks. The way this guy was treated before the season. This station took calls suggesting that Lindor should become a full-time right-handed hitter. That is where we were through the first 2 months of this season. And now here we are. Vientos was overrated. Well, now he's one of the best third basemen in baseball this season. This team is ready. I think the veteran pitching staff is going to step up in the playoffs. And you're right, Evan. It doesn't matter what happened in the regular season. In 2015, the Cubs went, 7-0 against the Mets?
Correct.
And the Mets swept them out of the building.
Yeah.
You alluded to the Phillies, who stumbled and tripped, losing something like 15 out of 20 down the stretch. They made it all the way to the World Series. This is a brand new day. This is a brand new season. LFGM.
LFGM! Look, regular seasons do not matter. I had this argument. I know it wasn't the direct argument, Teague, but you and I, and then me and Sean, were fighting over the Yankees' preferred opponent. And one of the points I kept stressing in that argument was, I don't want to hear about the regular season series. It doesn't matter. I can give you a million examples where it doesn't matter. Here's where the regular season, not that it matters, but aspects of a team that can worry you.
By the way, we weren't fighting over the preferred opponent. We were fighting over who was more scary to the Yankee fan.
Same thing.
No, it's not.
Similar. The Milwaukee Brewers run a lot.
Yes.
They have been a very aggressive team at stealing bases. The New York Mets at times have pitchers that have no idea guys are taking leads on them. A la Edwin Diaz. Yes. A la Adam Ottavino.
Right. You get these catcher indifference stolen bases.
Yes. And so that's a worry. That's a matchup flaw, which is why I suggested last night on the Rico that Luis Torrens actually start behind the plate. Mm. That is not happening. Luis Torrens is not starting behind the plate. But I understand that aspect of the Brewers being a worry if you're a Met fan. The other thing that worries me, and this may be a little bit more irrational, I think back to opening day. I know it was a long time ago. I called our old boss a very inappropriate name.
Oh, yeah, you were there.
But that's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is the Rhys Hoskins situation. Rhys Hoskins has had a lot of big moments against the Mets since Jeff McNeil screamed at him on opening day, including a grand slam on Friday. Rhys Hoskins has that douchey Philly look to him. He scares me.
Right, but McNeil's not here, so there's no adversary.
But Rhys Hoskins is.
But there's no counter.
McNeil wasn't there Friday, and he still hit a grand slam.
That's true, but still, you know what I mean. Like, I don't think it's going to be... how do the Mets use that emotionally without Jeff McNeil? Like, how do they use that to motivate them or become, I don't know, the energy behind the fire?
I don't think it motivates the Mets. I think, unfortunately, Rhys Hoskins is motivated to kill the Mets.
I think Rhys is just that way in general. It doesn't matter who
he had 215 for the season, not against the Mets. I want you to hear this. So our last caller referred to Carlos Mendoza's speech right before the celebration, and he said it wanted him to run through a wall. Actually made me cry. Mm. I was sitting in the car, and it was the one time throughout yesterday's emotional day where a tear started to peek down my eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, the manager of the playoff-bound New York Mets, Mendy, Carlos Mendoza.
Before the year started, nobody thought we would be in this position. Everyone had us out. We got to April. By the time we got to the end of May, we were sellers. Everybody, few of you guys needed to be traded. And guess what? You guys got together. You guys trusted each other. You had each other's back. You held each other accountable, and here we are. And I'm going to go back to the spring training again, because when we signed J.D. Martinez, in his press conference, he said, I'm addicted to the playoffs. And guess what? A lot of people laugh at him. Here we are, boys. Yeah. Embrace it. Enjoy it.
You know, Sean was one of the guys he's referring to. Because Sean mocked J.D. Martinez when J.D. said, I'm addicted to the playoffs.
Oh.
Sean made some very inappropriate comments about J.D. and his addiction. And so, you want to apologize to Mendy? Go ahead.
No, I won't apologize to Mendy because I still made J.D. in that playoff lineup tonight.
he's not.
Don't think he made that much of a difference.
He's not in the game one lineup, but
touché.
I guarantee he will get at bats in the postseason. That was an awesome speech. It really was, and I'm glad that we're able to hear it. Did that fire you up, Teague?
No, not really, but it was good.
No, not really.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just talking about the past.
Yeah, but you're the worst. Talking about the past.
I care about the future, baby.
Well, he's saying celebrate this achievement, and
no,
then we'll worry about
you got
the
a
future.
Game tomorrow, boys.
Bro, they didn't party all night.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
Exactly.
It was Atlanta. I don't know what they were doing. The only thing I know from watching the postgame.
It was Atlanta. You know what they were doing.
Magic City, baby.
Exactly.
For the chicken wings they went
of
there.
Course. The only thing I know for sure is the traveling secretary.
Who had the dish named after him?
Oh, yeah, the basketball player.
Right, the basketball player had a dish.
I'm looking at his face, and I can't remember his name.
Remember he left the bubble in Orlando?
Yeah. Was it Lou Collin?
No, I can't remember now.
I forget, too.
When you say it, it'll make perfect sense.
He left the bubble to go to Atlanta.
I had family business.
Yeah, it was some business, all right. Only thing I know is the bus left at 8:30 a.m. That's the only thing I know. Now, what happened between the celebration and 8:30 a.m.?
Lou Williams.
That's right. Let's go to Emilio and Manalapan. What's up, Emilio?
What up? What's up, Evan? Tiki, how you doing? Big Giants fan, but I want to make a couple of Met points today.
Let's hear it.
First off, losing is not an option. We're here to win. They're not scared of nobody. One series at a time. Milwaukee owns them this year, like you said, just like the Cubs did. Oh, you know what? We're going to take care of business. We're going to get some runs early. And I got a perfect pipe dream scenario for you. They're going to go beat Milwaukee. Then we're going to take out Philadelphia. Then we're going to get the Braves. Then we're going to get the rematch with the Yankees. And let's go, baby. Let's go, Mets.
Wow. You just wrote the dream script, right? Assuming everything works out well, the dream script. You go through the Brewers who handled you in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
You go through the city of Philadelphia. I mean, really, our history with them. It's funny with the Phillies. The Mets and the Phillies are basically two ships in the wind. They haven't had a lot of direct contact outside of that rivalry in 07 and 08. But outside of that, the two franchises, they've never played in the playoffs. Yeah. They've never come particularly close to playing in the playoffs. And they very rarely have had pennant races. 07 and 08 are the only two examples of it. But then you mention Atlanta. And then you mention the Yankees.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Go ahead.
It's 2:35. The show is not even 35 minutes long. The Mets had a wonderful day yesterday, really. And tonight, you guys should all be excited. Playoff series starting. Why is it now we have you, that caller, and Positive Tommy have all found a way to wedge in playing the Yankees in the first half hour of the show? I've sat quiet. Yankee fans have sat quiet. We got a lot of time before we see the Yankees play baseball again on Saturday.
It is a little misguided.
All I'll say is this. Talk all you want. I'm fine with that. Two-team town. Don't come crying to daddy when the Yankee fans put you in a headlock and give you a noogie. This is why I hate them. You guys have had no problem while the Yankee fan lays dormant here this week, poking
Solid
the bear.
Solid point.
Well, hold on a second. We put you in the World Series, and don't worry, you need our help because you haven't been there in forever.
Why are you?
Because we were there more recently.
Why are you talking about him?
Very odd focus, team.
Wait a minute. I'm not allowed to set up my bracket?
The Brewers just took two out of three from you when you needed to
Regular
win.
Season means nothing.
Okay. Except for when it
If anything, I like that for the Mets' chances because everyone will think Milwaukee
will pass. How about last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Well, I guess Friday and Saturday.
Tiki, you guys are not wrong with this. I think the only thing our last caller, Emilio, did and Lugie has done is give you the roadmap to the dream. Not that it's close to happening because it's not. There's a lot of mountains to climb,
okay,
as someone once told me.
Yes, climb the mountains. We'll hear from Sean in a second. Climb the mountains. Phillies, Braves, and whoever we have to face from the American League.
Yeah.
That works.
No, of course it works. I don't care who they beat in the World Series if they win a World Series. I'll be as naked and drunk at that parade, no matter if it's the Yankees, the Royals, the Astros, or the Tigers.
The problem is all you Met fans are warped by your mind, Evan.
My mind?
Yes, the voice of the people and Positive Tommy. the positive voice of the people.
I believe in Positive Tommy.
You guys are so obsessed with wrestling that you can't think about anything else other than finishing the story.
Bang!
And so the story is all that matters. Forget the journey. It's the story. You're writing the story before it's even, no ink in the pen.
You're right. You're not. Tiki's right. And that's why before we move any further, the only way we can write that story is to read the first chapter. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring you back in case you missed it. There was a chance you were watching the Met game. I understand that if you weren't listening to us. Maybe you were listening to the Met game.
I'm offended totally. If you weren't listening to us.
Tiki's offended. I get it. But Joking. We had our very own audio party, a watch party. And we'd like to play some of our favorite moments. So let's start with the burp. I don't know why I burped. I don't know where it came from. But as we were talking, God knows about what, a burp came out. Take a listen.
Yeah, I did emotionally.
All right, plus 6:30, double down. Let's go.
Oh, I definitely will. Excuse me. I'm sorry to
Are
burp.
Are you just
but...
burping on the air now?
we have
like
to
a
have
little respectable?
Some decorum.
Wow.
I didn't mean to.
I really
we are
don't.
Full social show right now.
Oh, my God.
I didn't mean to.
Your pants are off and you're burping.
I don't know why I burped, but it did come out. And then when Ozzie Albies drove in the bases-clearing three-run double to give the Braves the lead, we were on for that moment, and here's how it sounded.
3-1, and we all know Doom is about to hit us. We all know it. We had our tees, so now he's behind 3-1, and we all know Doom is about to hit us. We all know it. We had our tees. We had our moment. We all had fun.
You took your pants off too early.
Yeah, that's the problem. You,
and
took,
now
you took your pants off
too
early.
We're about to be hit, and we've just been hit. Ozzie Albies has hit a ball off the wall. The Braves are going to score all three runs. They've taken the lead 7-6, and I've died inside.
That's why you make the emotional hedge, Evan. Yes. Now you get a little profit.
Yeah, now the interesting thing is that Sean called this.
I did.
Absolutely called this.
Diaz was going to blow the game. You're going to win game two. No problem.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is what it is.
You I'm see, a prophet.
I realized that Sean was really the star of the show yesterday.
He was.
I love how he's teaching me. I emotionally hedge everything. This is why you emotionally hedge.
Sean brought the levity every moment.
Every moment.
With the dad jokes, the emotional hedge, the money, all that stuff.
Yeah, but did you hear what he also did during that clip?
He laughed a little bit and clapped.
He was clapping for Albies' hit. Sean!
He made money off of Albies' hit.
And I knew
that, I do not fault you, Sean.
And I knew they were going to win game two if it came to that anyway. So that's why I didn't think it was anything, you know, harmful.
Now we present to you the final play of the game. Lugie and I were nervous as hell. There was a runner on second and two outs. And, of course, the batter was Travis Darnold.
This is not ending well. I don't know how anyone in their right mind.
He's down. I mean, why do you think this is not ending well?
Darno has swung at everything.
You have to keep your positivity on a high level.
Okay.
There's negativity coursing through your veins.
One ball, two strikes.
Right now, if you think positive, it's going to go out of your eyes right into Edwin Diaz's soul.
Yeah.
And even though the count is 2-2, there's a runner on second base.
Right.
You and Lugie are oddly hugging each other.
What's the count, TV?
Keep it positive. 2-2. You got to believe.
I'm trying to believe.
If you don't believe, then it's not going to achieve. Nothing's going to be achieved, right?
I'm trying to believe, TV.
I'm trusting that you're believing, but I don't believe you're believing.
Positive Tommy is standing up next to Evan
Roberts. Ups and downs.
They are both sweating on their under moves and armpits, awaiting potentially one final strike.
Come on, Edwin.
Can we react to this?
Well, we'll just say this. There may or may not have
been. We're going to the Diaz got the out! Diaz got the out! Holy shit!
Darno! He makes out, and the Mets have three more hills to climb, baby! Next up might be Mount Milwaukee. The Mets are going to the playoffs!
Let's go!
I'm getting moist.
All right, Butch, I just ran around.
I want to rip my shirt off.
The New York Mets, I'm sorry, I want to apologize. I got a lot of apologies. First of all, let me apologize to the New York Mets.
Sean, that was a great call.
Somebody had to say it.
That was an amazing call.
Evan left and was high-fiving everybody, but thank you. Thank you. I channeled Howie Rose there.
Well, it's a good thing he left because he kept calling play-by-play, and we would have gotten in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, like that matters. And also, did you notice I almost said holy bleep?
Yeah. Sure did.
It was coming, and then I remembered we're on the radio, and I pivoted. But I do have a critique of Sean. While that was really good play-by-play, my son Jed has listened to it 35 times in a row. He's now a big Sean fan. Why did you say there were three more hills to climb, baby? Because the answer is there's actually four more hills to
You're
climb,
right,
baby.
But as I've been reminded about all year, the Mets are the more recent team in New York to make a World Series. I already know you guys celebrate that so much that there is only three more hills to get.
No. So we're not going to do this. Number one, you made yesterday about yourself. And making a run about a team about yourself is really should be beneath people.
So, I don't know. Exasperated, happy, etc., that you couldn't comment.
No, but my point is this, though. He's allowed to sling arrows from his perch there, but
he
if we go back...
He slinging arrows?
He sure is. This guy was hoping a former president died so his pathetic soft hockey team would
time
win
out.
A cup.
Time
and
out.
I can't put
happy,
the Yankees in the World Series.
Happy 100th birthday yep. to said president, Jimmy Carter.
And
Jimmy.
You're holding out hope that he goes well, right before
way,
this run.
We're a week away from Rangers opening night. Jimmy, another week.
Yes. Jimmy Carter, by the way, who's president, or vice president, Walter Mondale, changed vice presidency forever, as I said, Evan and taught Evan this morning.
Yeah, that's cool.
Vice
Thanks.
Presidential debate tonight.
Yeah, how about that? Little Walls of Vance action this evening. Yes, I thought that was great play-by-play. I also thought Tiki trying to give me an emotional, inspirational, you have to be optimistic speech.
It worked.
As Diaz was facing Darno.
It worked.
You know, it's funny.
Did he not get the soft grounder?
He did.
Francisco Lindor.
Who, he did.
Who outed the Braves and... I guess they, I was going to say knocked him out, but they didn't actually knock him out, but you
yeah,
know what I mean.
Just gave him stress
gave
for a few hours.
Exactly.
I realized upon listening to those clips that in the moment, I hated both of you. Mm. I thought Tiki was too calm and too, oh, don't worry, it'll be fine.
That's
he asks
me,
why are you so negative, Evan? I don't understand it. And Sean was being douchey, but now that I've been able to listen back, brilliant work, fellas. Mm.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good job being you, Ev.
Thank you. And of course, most of all, thank you to Positive Tommy, who led us to the postseason. So yeah. Thank you, PT.
Yeah, he didn't make anything about himself.
No,
I'm way above that. That's why I'm the future of the station. By the way, you never called my leg back this morning after you humped it for 30 seconds and the morning show had a field day with that. You literally jumped on my back. You got to go on the video. It's on all our social channels. You can check it out there.
I was excited. I have no regrets.
And then you went around to the entire room and started humping everybody else.
Yeah, I did. I had a lot of action yesterday. I admitted it to my wife when I got home. I said, honey, I was very active yesterday. I showed her the video, and she said, that's okay. I still love you. So nice. It's all good. Huh. Let's go to Ozzy and Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Ozzy.
Yo, fellas, real quick. Positive Tommy has taken our Metsies this far. So I'm going to carry the torch. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to call Mad Dog on Sirius Radio, and I'm going to ask him to please say that he will retire if the Mets win the World Series.
Give it a try. We all know he's going to not do it anyway, but you may as well give it a try. Joe's in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
What's going on, guys? So a couple weeks ago when the Mets beat Toronto, break up that no-hitter, I was able to put that bet in live before the ninth inning. I am now going to flip those profits onto it, a futures bet, where the Yankees beat the Mets in the World Series. Now, Ev, my question to you is, if you were to follow me on that awesome bet and say it worked out that way, say if you took the Mets to beat the Yankees in the World Series and you get those ridiculous odds, would Evan Roberts throw money on the Yankees the other way to hedge that bet or let it ride or double down?
Oh, that's a very easy answer, Joe. If I made a Met-Yankee bet, which you could do right now, I think it's 33-1 odds if you bet on them facing each other in the World Series. I'll tell you exactly what I would do. It's very, very easy. I would cash out as soon as the World Series became official, and I'd then bet every dollar I won on the New York Yankees to win the World Series. It's called emotional hedging,
yes.
Which I did yesterday. I lost a ton of money in that game against Atlanta. And you know what's crazy about it? I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know I didn't bet too much, right? That's the sign that I don't have a big problem or anything, because while I did lose a few shekels on the emotional hedging, I was so happy the Mets advanced, I forgot all about it.
Yeah, but they were shekels that were already in your FanDuel account, so it didn't matter.
Courtesy of other blood money bets?
Exactly right.
Yes, that's true. I'm actually still playing off of the winnings of the Bucks beating the Nets in Game 7 back in 2021. I won so much money off that emotional hedging. That when I place these emotional bets, I'm still doing it off of the profits of Kevin Durant's giant foot.
Wow.
You have an emotional hedge fund, basically.
Yes.
An emotional hedge fund.
Oh, yes. Bad dad joke. I like that one, Tom.
Wasn't even going for it, but
I know,
yes, I guess it ended up being
that's
that
good. For those financial savvy listeners.
He's learning from Sean. I'm so proud of him. Jim is in Elmont, New York. How you doing, Jim?
Hello. First of all, I'd say congratulations to you and Tommy and all the Met fans. It was a... big win yesterday. But just imagine when the ball sailed over the wall that Francisco Lindor hit, as high as you guys were, imagine the reaction from the Brave announcers, the Brave fans. And imagine when they heard Sale wasn't pitching that second game. They probably figured that moment we're finished. And if the Mets had beaten the second game, it would have been kind of like 7-8 with Bucky Dent. It would have been Francisco bleeping Lindor. You would have ended the Braves' season.
Yeah.
And sadly, that would have been the cherry on top if you could have done that.
You know what, though, Jim? So the game was 1-0 for a while. We signed off the air. I was still locked in on the game. I'm a Met fan, and I care about where they're going, who they're playing. Are they going to San Diego? Are they going to Milwaukee? I started to lose the care of eliminating Atlanta, and I started to only care about myself as a Met fan. Mm. And while I was still rooting for them to come back, and the Braves broke it open, Marcelo Ozuna got a 2-run hit. They made it 3-0. Then they got the leadoff man in the 9th on against Raisel Iglesias. To me, I was watching that game as a, you know what? If we can beat them, great.
Yeah.
But it affected me zero that we didn't knock them out.
I didn't care as soon as we left.
No, I understand.
It's because, I mean, obviously it's not my team, but
knocking the Braves out wasn't the reward that maybe. I know Sal had that, and I understand that. It's very personal between him and Atlanta. But for me, I didn't really care as much. And the Braves are in the playoffs against the Padres, and quite frankly, it's a series I care very little about. Honestly, if I was ranking all the postseason wildcard series, obviously my team is number one. Mm-hmm. I think the Orioles series is very interesting because of its impact on the Yankees. I'm very much into Houston-Detroit. I know, big follower of the Astros. I happen to think the Tigers are about to go on a great run. And with Atlanta-San Diego, it's like blah. And speaking of Atlanta, for those that care, Chris Sale got scratched with a bad back. He's not pitching today either.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Braves are starting A.J. Smith-Shaver, who has made one regular season start this year, 4 1/3 innings of scoreless baseball. He's appeared in 7 games in his major league career. He's the game one starter for the Atlanta Braves. So Chris Sale's back is obviously a major issue.
Yeah.
Even pushing it back a day didn't help. Right. He's not starting tonight.
They're scuffling a little bit, trying to make ends meet. But you know what? I trust this Braves to do this team. If I'm an Atlanta Braves fan, I'm trusting them to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's what they've done all season long.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I don't care. I really don't.
I mean,
Braves Padres means absolutely nothing to me.
You won't care until you have to play them again. But
yes.
They just seem to figure things out.
Yeah.
Just from a respect angle.
No doubt.
You have to give it to the Atlanta
and
Braves.
And I always have, Teak. That's one of the things I've been worried about. A lot of my worry about Atlanta was about how good they are, especially their starting pitching. Unfortunately for them, they just don't have it lined up right now.
Right.
Spencer Schwellenbach is not going to pitch in the wild card series. They do have Max Fried,
mm-hmm.
but they miss out on Chris Sale unless all of a sudden his back heals. Rob's in Westchester. What's up, Rob?
Hey, boys. How are we today?
Good.
Guys, I've never been so excited as a Met fan. This is history that we made recently, right? I mean, for crying out loud, from going 10 games under, listen, the only guy positive on this earth was Lugi. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. Every single, and I'm going to call a couple people out here. It's going to be Evan and Tiki. But first, again, shout out to Lugi. Me and him had a real few tough conversations. I said, get rid of Lindor. And you know what, Evan? I called up and I praised Lugi. And then you called out all Met fans like me. First off, I just want to say, Evan, you were not high on the Mets all year long. Are you willing to admit on air that you didn't think that this team was going to make the playoffs?
I did not think they were going to make the playoffs after, I think it was the drunk Rico I did, so it was sometime in early August is when I admitted, you know what? I don't think they're making the playoffs. So you're right. There's varying degrees of positivity,
okay.
And I will totally hand it to Lugi. He was steadfast that don't make plans for October. Hmm. So he's the winner when it comes to the positivity. I think I was certainly shaken throughout this season. And yeah, for the last month, I had felt the negativity of they're going to come up short. I was only positive, really, at the beginning of the season when people didn't think they were going to be competitive.
Right.
They had the worst rotation in the history of baseball.
Where everybody else was saying they did nothing this offseason. They're going to be boring. Pete Alonso's not going to be here. This is a lowly expectation-based team.
Well, I think what they did is, I think the mistake people made is that the Mets had a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo. I was certainly high on Francisco Alvarez. Didn't expect this much from Mark Vientos. I think the core of this team.
You didn't even mention McNeil.
Didn't even mention Jeff McNeil. You're right. I forgot about him. I forgot he exists. By the way, if the Mets go on a deep playoff run, he may exist because his timetable was more middle of October. So I definitely admit that throughout this season, there were some very, very shaky moments. But we've categorized all of them. Categorized? No, I think we cataloged them. In fact, if you missed it late yesterday afternoon, Sean Morash and Paul R. Zuman, who is a veteran here at WFAN, put together an incredible audio tribute to the New York Mets accomplishments that also reminded everybody about how everyone around here thought they were done. So, ladies and gentlemen, we present to you a Sean Morash production, OMG.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
This Mets team is
one of the most frustrating teams you've ever seen.
And this is part of a locker room culture problem, if you ask me.
The reason why I would trade Pete Alonso if I'm the Mets is because I believe his presence is preventing their true leader, their true captain, from taking the reins of that clubhouse. And with Pete there, I don't believe Nimmo can truly take over the reins of this team, which I think he has to do for this team to have the ultimate success.
Oh, my God. It is unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Todo lo malo echado para allá.
This year was not going to be anything for them anyway. David Stearns knew it. Steve Cohen knew it. Steve Cohen told us before the offseason that they weren't going to do anything in the offseason, and nobody believed him. So that's what's happened. Now, they're way worse than I think anybody expected.
He's actually been really good on this, where the Mets, every time they've had these little hiccups throughout the season, they haven't let go of the rope. And that's why I started with, I think they've let go of the rope.
No way. Oh, my God.
You want Lindor? How much of his contract do I have to eat? You want McNeil? Take him. He stinks. You want Diaz? I respect him. I'm not trying to diss him. Not the same guy. Go. You want Nimmo? Take him.
This group here and this core here and what we're watching now will be gone. Will be gone in the offseason. It'll be gone at the trade deadline. This is going to be a full-blown colon cleanse of this organization.
Colon cleanse.
By David Stearns. And it better be. Let's put it that way. It better be. Because if it's not, then what the hell are we doing?
The Mets season is over. They are done. They are boring. They stink. Everybody knows it. Now it's time to act on that.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
Oh, my God. Todo lo malo echado para allá.
Swing and a high fly ball. Well hit right center. Harris going back. It's on the way. It is gone. Francisco Lindor has an MVP moment. He has just put the Mets back on top. 8-7. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball. Slowly hit to short. Waiting on it, Lindor. He's got it. Throws to first. Off the box. Diaz slams the glove down. He is pounced on by Alvarez. And the New York Mets are headed to postseason play.
What a job, Sean.
Good job, Sean.
Brilliant work, man.
Evan, I think you've got more exercise in the last 2 days than you've done in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I danced the entire time.
The entire time. Yesterday's excitement where your heart rate and blood pressure were through the roof.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. What can I tell you?
I see that, obviously.
I love the song, OMG. It's obviously one of my favorite songs in the history of the planet.
Lugie and Sean, this is actually a really well-done song.
Yeah, it's a well-done song, obviously, courtesy of Jose Iglesias. And then Sean put together a great production piece. So thank you, Sean.
That is the best remix of OMG.
I think it is. Oh, my God. I think it's called The Fan Doesn't Believe. And really, no one believed. But here we are, game one of the wild card series in just a few hours. I'll get to more of your calls later. We'll analyze the Met lineup for game one. But when we come back, is Devontae Adams really on his way to the New York Jets? We'll get our thoughts, Tiki's thoughts. We'll even hear from Devontae Adams. And, of course, more of your calls at